Ufkude, Tevudlun Parsum Nosai, Sheni, Ufukude, the appointments. The appointments, the people that were appointed to positions of authority from the family of the Bnei Berori, L'mishpachai Islam, according to their, excuse me, their family, L'vei Savai Islam, based upon their lineage. So what do we have over here? We have any Rashi, no Rashi here. Miben, Shlesh, I'm going to run through until we get something a little bit more, try to be more selective in what we learn. That was the rule, that was literally last week's parasha. The rule is, the age is between 30 and 50. Rashi says until 30, I don't know, Rashi doesn't really say until 30. After 50, Rashi says you become weak, and you're no longer eligible to serve in these roles. Okay, so from until 50, Rashi over here on this pasuk, that's the age from 30 until 50 years old. Anyone that comes into the tzava, into the army, the tzava over here means, doesn't mean the army, it means the workforce. The workforce. The tzava, it's a very interesting word. There was no army. They didn't have any, they're not going to fight a battle here. The Levim over here, they're not in the army. There's no draft. There's no gius. What are they doing over here? They're coming over here, they're entering into the workforce. The workforce. And the workforce in the Torah is called the tzava. That's a very interesting point. The biblical word for the word tzava is a group that provides a service. In modern Hebrew, and typically we associate the word tzva with an army, the armed forces. Join the Marines. That's not what it means here. The tzva over here means the service providers to transport the Mishkan in the desert. And there is no Rashi in this pasuk. And the time over here, we're going to go vayda. Pasuk, that tells you the number. I like very much how they do this. In this, they put the numerical numbers, 3200. Because by me, if you write out 3200, it's like Greek to me. My mind doesn't operate. I see the number 3200. Okay, it makes much more of an impression. Maybe I'm mistaken. I always wondered the Torah. It's very interesting. The Torah does not do that. There is no numerics in the Torah. The Torah spells out every single number. Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Echad, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi. Every time there's a number, it's a whole pasuk. It's a long pasuk. And, you know, I don't know, for some reason, in way, I don't know, I can't speak for anyone else but myself, the way we're trained is you see a number, the numeric symbols, it registers, at least by me, a lot easier than reading out the entire number. Why didn't the Torah add to the alphabet numerics? If in all of the languages in the world there are numbers.
There's no kedusha numbers. The numbers are.
So why not? Why didn't Hashem give kedusha to numbers? How come in the Torah, the Torah?
You have our days are the numbers.
So that's gematria. So the truth is, there are no the Torah. That's the case. How come the Torah should say it should be tough? There should be, you know, some type of take the letters and put an apostrophe, a double apostrophe, and that'll be a symbol that we're dealing with numbers. You want to say the number 400, you have the letter tough. 800, tough. 1200, tough. You want to have on 1000, you have an aleph and put maybe a double apostrophe. There's no such thing. In the Torah, there's no convention whatsoever.
Because the Torah is spelled out, there are no abbreviations.
So I'm asking you why. I'm asking you why is that so? If in the Welt, in the Goyish Welt, in the world, in all the languages in the world, they came up with a convention to put in numbers. There's an alphabet, and in the alphabet, in addition to the alphabet, there are numeric numbers. And let's say talk about Latin. So there's X, XI, XIII.
Those are letters. Those are not numbers.
Right. So why can't the Torah do that as well? The Torah doesn't do that. The Torah never ever employs taking its letters and using the letters as a way to express a number. Never. There's no. We do that. I mean, you have page numbers. You have page numbers. Or you have the years. Tavshin pei beis.
No, we have it. Of course, you have it.
What do you have it?
Yud kei.
That's gematrius. That's not.
It's not numbers.
No, such thing. No such thing. Yud Kei Vav Kei is not a number. No one says it's a number.
When you have a number of a page called Shmad, you change the number.
That's a very modern thing. That's already a, 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 You're talking over here 21st century almost. That's it's an interesting thing that has to be understood. Why is that so? And here you're dealing with Parashas Nosai. There are so many numbers. And really, last week was more than this week. This week is not so many numbers. This week is just repetition, a lot of repetition. There are not so many numbers in this week. Last week was Bamidbar, numbers. The whole Chumash Bamidbar is called numbers. So you can't ignore it. There's something. There has to be a satisfying answer as to why in the Ruach HaKodesh, in the Torah, which is a divine document, the world was built upon this. There's no such thing. And when you want to talk about a number, the Torah, it could be a whole pasuk. There's some very last week's parasha. There's some very, very long numbers. And it takes a line, a whole line in the Sefer Torah, or maybe even two lines, to spell out the number. It could have been expressed in a couple of letters, a couple of symbols. And it would, in fact, I can't say for anyone but myself, it would be a lot easier to absorb. I know.
Yeah, but it's harder to lay.
So you lay in the number. Yeah. You just say the number, 3,200. Okay. Why you go there? Why you?
Then you're not reading the word. You're translating.
Okay, Acher Hamaisa, because we don't have. This is the way the Torah Hakadosh was given to us, and there are no symbols for numbers. So then you're giving me these very nice answers that you have to lay. These are all answers that come after. What came first, chicken or the egg? But
okay, so you better have a good answer.
I don't have a good answer. This is something you have to think about. Because the reason why you have to have a good answer is because if in the Welt, if in other languages people felt it was necessary, it was a good idea, and ad hayom hazeh, that's the way it is. Every book has page numbers, b'liyotzim in haklal, and in Hebrew they don't always use page numbers, but they'll use the letters of the aleph themselves as the numbers. So obviously you see that a human being came up with a good idea. So why then is it that the Ribbono Shel Olam did not himself take advantage of this technique if a human being found it to be something advantageous? So why was this rejected by the Torah HaKadosh, which is of course the work of Hashem? Ma'aseh Elokim Ema. So I don't have a good answer, but it's definitely something worth discussing. Let's go further. Eilef Yekudei B'nei Merari. Here is the numbers of B'nei Merari. L'mish B'choysam. B'nei Merari Asher Pakeh Moshe Avi Aaron. Then Moshe and Aaron counted. Al Pi Hashem B'yad Moshe. Now we're going to give the numbers. There is no Rashi. Targum over here doesn't. We're going to go further. Kol HaPakudim. All of the numbers Asher Pakeh Moshe Avi Aaron. Unisiei Yisrael and the princes. Es HaLevim. L'mish B'choysam. L'veis HaVoysam. So right now we're coming to go give the total sum of all the number of the Levim. All of the appointees, all of the numbers, Asher which Pakad Moshe counted, the Aaron, Unisiei Yisrael, and the princes, Es HaLevim, Lemish B'chaisim L'Vei Salaz. And this pasuk over here is an amazing pasuk, because this pasuk over here tells us who participated in the counting. And it says, Moshe, Aaron, and then it says the princes, Unisiei Yisrael. Why does this say? Because if you pay attention to the news, the last 2 years, Hakachinik, the same, they regurgitate the same thing again and again and again about the elections. The elections are over. It's over. It's already 2 years. But I don't know if you pay attention to the news. Starker the Torah. There was cheating in the elections. They cheated here. And they cheated here. And every other day, there's another. They put out a movie, the Mules. And then they, you know, over Yom Tov, I saw, look at the news over Yom Tov, they came out with a very starker report on the Dominion voting machines. Half the country used these machines. And there was a report that was a long-awaited report of an investigation, a very thorough investigation. And it was a very, very critical report that these machines are subject to fraud. So it's a very big thing. Counting votes, counting people. Representation. They just said also in the news that New Jersey, big scandal in New Jersey, they had 8,000 people are counted twice. 8,000 people registered twice. Okay, every other day you're going to hear in the news stories about this. And, you know, it goes both ways. It goes Republicans, Democrats. You know, it's not, you know, cheating is not only one way. Cheating goes both ways. Obviously, we have an appreciation that when you vote, you want your vote to be counted. When you want to take a census, you want to know a number, it's important to know the number. If you're going through the effort of counting the people, you want to know the number. Who's counting? There are agendas. There are benefits to know to padding the number. You know, like they have in Lakewood this, I don't know when it is, maybe it's even today, I'm not following. They're having this massive event in Wells Fargo. I don't even know where that is. It's a massive arena where they're honoring all of the B'nai Torah who learn in Lakewood. Why? They're not honoring them. They're honoring this very wealthy person who has decided out of the goodness of his heart to give a lot of money to Lakewood, specifically to pay the Kollel checks. The people in Kollel were getting $350, and now they're getting $1,000. And this person is giving all of this money. It's an enormous amount of money. So they're basically making a dinner to honor the person who's giving the money. But you know, so they have to go. They have the way they're presenting it is they're not honoring him. They're honoring the Kollel Yungoite. So you do the math. I don't know. The math is very interesting because how many people are actually learning in Lakewood? How many Kollel checks are they actually paying? How many people are actually getting a check of $1,000 a month? How many people are not getting a check? And you know, it's if you do the math, the numbers are astronomical. So it can't be that I have no idea. It can't be that what they write in the paper is totally accurate. Maybe it is, I don't know. The point I'm trying to make over here is that when you take a census, we all understand very well and good, especially living in the 21st century, that if you vote, you want your vote to be counted honestly. That's what more could you want from a person, right? Right. That's, and the question is, who gets to count the vote? Who gets to count? This pasuk leaps off the page because it says over here, they know who's doing the counting? Three people. There are checks and balances. There is Moshe. There is Aaron, and the other Nesia Yisrael. Okay.
But there's also Kodesh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu, I think we read already.
Yeah.
Could not go into, because of privacy rules.
Yeah.
Right.
Al Pi Hashem. He couldn't go inside. Exactly.
But
so
Hashem said, don't worry about it. Rasko will come out from.
So Estira. So why here in this pasuk? Why here in this pasuk are when we reviewed it, when we are reviewing. It was the same counting. He counted the Levium. And here they're counting it a second time. I'm confused why there's so many countings for the Levium. Even when Rashi says they don't need to be counted. You don't have to count them. And then we go to count them at least twice. I'm a little confused with all the numbers. But this leaps out at me.
Count them.
What?
You know, we have a census in America.
Yeah.
By the Constitution every couple of years.
Yeah.
It actually has an impact on funding.
Right, right. Very important.
Congressional districts.
Yeah, the legislative impacts.
What did Hashem want? I know Hashem had Chavivos for Yisrael counted them three times. He counted them when he came out of Mitzrayim. He counted them after the Eagle. He counted them here at the beginning. But what was his purpose of this census?
So I don't know. I don't know the answer. Chavivos. Rashi says Chavivos. You're asking good. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. Rashi in Parashas Bamidbar says Chavivos. He says Chavivos. That's all he says there. There's probably for sure much more to it. Okay, that's one issue. But the second issue is Moshe Rabbeinu was not allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim when during the Milum he wore a white garment that had no hem. Why was there no hem? Because no one should be choshed that Moshe stole a coin. That Moshe took a coin and put it in the hem of the garment. If you have a garment, and the bottom of the garment is a fold, and you stitch it so it should be nice and flat, so you can stick a coin in there. Tell me, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's kedai for him to risk his reputation to steal one coin. How much was the coin worth already? $10, $20. Moshe, it's kedai for Moshe to go into the Beis HaMikdash all alone and go steal one. They collected machsa shekel for the korbanos. Moshe gonna chaperein. two or three machs a shekel. He'll walk out with $10.
Why do they give a whole cheshbon?
So what's the answer? The answer is
it's not logical.
It's not because Moshe would do such a thing, because Moshe doesn't need the $10. It's not worth him the $10. The teretz is, it's a statement. It's a statement that Moshe Rabbeinu, for the people. The people should know that Moshe Rabbeinu is not taking money. Would Moshe, the person who went to Shemayim, do you think he would take money? Lechem lo yachalti, maim lo yishosisi. Moshe said, chamor echad mehem lo yinososi. Really, Moshe is going to take the coins? Obviously, Moshe is not going to do anything. It's for the people. There are people out there in this world that are not rational. They're not rational. They see Moshe, oh, right away, he's a ganef. Before they even open up the Bible, the first thing, oh, he's a ganef. Because you judge people, every person to a degree is a mirror. When you look at other people, a person knows that he's a ganef. Oh, so mistam, this guy's also a ganef. Mum shebecha al toime lachaveri. There are people, unfortunately, who go to candy machines and they know how to rig the system, and they take a free candy bar, they take a chocolate bar for $1.50. They steal a chocolate bar for $1.50. They do this. I know, it's very, very sad. I know one of the places where I davened, I don't want to say where, there was a locker. What was in the locker? Aspirin, Tylenol, Motrin, Advil, Tums, I don't remember, whatever, all the stuff there. And someone sponsored, so people needed an Advil. So he put their little cup. He put a cup, basically, you know, it goes very quickly because there are a lot of people who come here. Okay, it's not a fortune of money, but if you want to go, you want to put a dollar or two, or you want to go put a quarter, you know, so that way we replenish the supplies. We can replenish the supplies. So guess what? A guy goes every so often, he opens up the locker and he takes the money for himself. So what does the person do? The person puts a sign on the locker and he says, to the person who steals the money, please don't do this. If you turn to your right, you will notice there's a camera that's looking right at you. I know who you are because I went into the office and I reviewed the tapes and I know exactly who you are. And cut out the nonsense. Stop stealing the money in the can. Okay? Obviously, the guy's not going to go arrest him because it's not worth it to go arrest him for $10. But he puts a sign on the thing there. Just turn your face to the right and you'll look in the corner of the room. You'll see there's a camera. We have cameras here all over the place that watch your every move. And I know who you are. And stop stealing the money in the can. Now tell me, how much money do you think this guy got away with? $10, $15, $20, okay? They are crazy people. And this guy is Kedai. Well, you know, who knows? You don't know what people go through in their life. Some people, they have a thing. I know there's a guy that comes collecting. You probably know this guy is also. He comes around. And people give him. They don't give him because they give him stuff. They give him because they just want to get rid of him. So they give him a dollar. They don't give a stuck. They just want to get rid of him. And people, a guy has a reputation as being a multimillionaire. I'm telling you, this guy has a reputation. First of all, people question if he's even Jewish. Okay, they don't even know if he's even Jewish. And number two, people claim that they saw him in other countries. And he does very, very well. He's not normal. He's crazy. He has a hana. He has this incredible hana of coming to a community where no one knows him, making believe he's Jewish. Maybe he is Jewish. I don't really know. There's a whole question. And has this hana, give me a dollar. It gives him this hana that a normal person doesn't understand. But he has this hana. And people don't have time to fight with him. So it's not stalker. So just leave me alone. Like, you know, you have to pay to go on the bus also. It's not always so pleasant to go on the bus. You don't have a choice. So you give him a dollar. Get out of here. Leave me alone. Don't bother me. Moshe Rabbeinu, he doesn't need the $10. He's going to stick in his in the hem of his garment. Yet, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went into the Beis HaMikdash, he wore a choluk she'ein lo imra, that did not have a hem. Why? So the Meshugayim out there should not have this as an excuse to complain about Moshe Rabbeinu that he's a ganav. Now, in addition to that, look what it says here in this pasuk. Who is going to do the counting? Mr. Rapport, you pointed out that Hashem, there was a baskol. There's a baskol. Hashem is doing the counting, right? But guess what? Not everyone hears the baskol. Moshe hears the baskol. Not everyone zechet hears the baskol. So who has to do the counting? Look what it says. Moshe, Aaron, Unisiyah Yisrael. There were 12 princes. 12, 13, 14. There were 14 people in charge of counting. Secretary of State. Okay, Secretary of State. If you pay attention to the news, Trump. It's very true. It's very, very true. He says, Trump says that the most important person who you vote for, the most important person, you have a whole ballot of people that you vote for, right? Every so often, how often there. Who do you think is the most important person to vote for? The president, the vice president, the mayor, the governor, the senators, councilmen, people who represent you in your district, the House of Representatives. You know who Trump was machadish, and he made a big, big stink about this. I don't know if you pay attention to the news. The most important person to vote for is the Secretary of State. That is the most important position in this country. You know why? Because the Secretary of State is in charge of counting the votes. And if you have a crook, if you have a crook who's the Secretary of State, then you can have a state. New York State is how many million people live in New York? I don't know, a lot of them. Many people live in New York State. New York City alone, there are 9 million people. In New York State, if you have a crook who's the Secretary of State, it doesn't matter who anyone votes for. It all goes in the garbage. The most important person who you vote for is the Secretary of State. There are 50 Secretary of States in this country. And they're the ones who count the votes. They're the ones who are in charge of making sure that the voting in the state is done kedas u'kedin. It's a very important yisoid. It's a very powerful concept. And this concept leaps off the page in this pasuk. Who's doing the counting here? Oh, there's a baskol. Yeah, there's a baskol. Who hears the baskol? Moshe hears the baskol. No one else hears the baskol. How do you trust Moshe Rabbeinu? You don't. You don't. You taka don't. Because you have over here an Aaron, and you have here 12 more people. Unisiyah Yisrael. Es HaLevim. Mr. Rapport, I don't know why you need a number. There's obviously an important reason why we need to count. But this pasuk here is not a simple pasuk. It's telling you chidushim nifloim. Who is the Secretary of State? Three people, three groups. Moshe, Aaron, Unisiyah Yisrael. We don't appreciate that they represented different branches of government. Moshe's role was very different than Aaron. The princes were very different. And here you have checks and balances that together they have to stamp, this is the number. V'yisem niki me Hashem umi Yisrael. It's an incredible yisoid here. It's a powerful stuff over here, what it says in this pasuk. Mamash, a pasuk in Chumash. Moshe, Aaron, Nisiyah Yisrael. They're the ones who count as Alevim. I guarantee you, if this pasuk would have just said, Eila ha'pukud Mashiach pokad Moshe, es ha'levim, would we blink? We wouldn't blink in a million years. Yeah, the Torah says, Eila ha'pukud Mashiach pokad Moshe. Moshe counted. You have a Rashi in Parash Bamidbar, Al-Pi Hashem, there was a Basko. Very nice. But it doesn't say that in the Pasuk. It says Moshe, Aaron, Unisiyah Yisrael. They had to go to work. They had to leave Koilo. It's a lot of work to go count the people. This is a full-time job. It's more than a full-time job, besides all of their other duties. Because this is very important. To have transparency, honesty, integrity, and no one should be able to be choshei that there was some hanky-panky going on. I remember Rapam many years ago, in Torah V'das, he spoke on Friday. This is before Rapam, when he was Baruch Hashem, he was still healthy. He didn't have such a big, wasn't such a big crowd who came on Friday at that time. And then we spoke about a scandal. He was speaking about a scandal that happened probably 30 years ago from when he spoke. And he says, well, people, they went to, and this, unfortunately, this happened recently again. It was in the news again. People went to Eretz, people went to America, and they smuggled into America diamonds in the tefillin. They opened up the tefillin shel Rosh. You open up the tefillin shel Rosh, and you have the parashios, right? In the parashios. So in with the parashios, they put in some diamonds, some very expensive diamonds worth many, many thousands of dollars. And you go through and you come into the country. Customs, what are you going to declare? Nothing. What? I have nothing. I have dirty laundry. I have tefillin. These are my phylacteries. Everyone knows what your tefillin. Everyone knows what the tefillin are, right? My tefillin. Oh yeah, so they got a tip. The customs agents got a tip that they're smuggling diamonds in the tefillin. And they opened the tefillin, they found the diamonds, and it was on the cover of all the secular newspapers. Could there be a bigger chil Hashem than that? Couldn't there be a bigger chil Hashem than that? Can't be a bigger chil Hashem than that. And Mayor Powell was talking about this, and I remember very recently, this happened very recently. It was in the news also. Someone did something like this pretty recently. He probably was in the shir with me. He was probably seeing me with the shir. He was right next to me. He learned what to do from the shir. In any event, I think it was kedai that we dwelt upon that yisoid in this targum. It's a very chiddush over here. Kol minyana di mina moshe vi adam v'ravrave yisol yos levoe lezar ayisoid leves avos. Next. Okay, so we did over here the three people. Miben. Now we go to the numbers. Miben. What are the numbers? Miben. Shleishim. We're going to be rash now. Miben shleishim v'malo v'amnicha mishono kol abola avoid avoidas avoida. Now this is a very funny pasuk. This is a very funny pasuk to learn. Kol haba, anyone who comes, la avod, that's the number one. Number two, avodas. Number three, avodah, it's three. Number four, va'avodas. So if someone, Mr. Rapport, if I see you on Jeopardy and they ask you, where is your pasuk in the Torah that has the same word four times in a row? You're going to say... You're gonna say, I have to say it in the reverse. I forgot about how you played Jeopardy. You have to say the question, not the answer. The question: where in the Torah do you have the word four times? The word avoda, avoid, avoidas, avoidav, avoidas. Isn't that a fascinating concept? Four times. Kol habol avoid, shorish ayin beis dalid, avoidas, ayin beis dalid, avoidah, va avoidas, masa ba'oil moed. Four times the same word. There must be something going on over here that we don't know about. Let's see Rashi. Avoidas, avoidah, hi hashir. So we're talking about the Levim. So the Levim have many roles. Number one, they sing with their voices. Number two, they play musical instruments. Number three, they stand shemira, guardians. Those three things never change. That they did forever. Then in addition, they carried the Oroin. That was done during the time of after they came into Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that also didn't go away so quickly. And then the only thing that was relevant for the Midbar was they would disassemble and reassemble the Mishkan. That was basically a temporary service. Because once they came into Eretz Yisrael and they assembled the Mishkan in Gilgal, there was nothing more to do. They're done. They can retire. Because after Gilgal for 14 years, there was no more Mishkan. It was now Shiloh. It was a structure. Okay, so there was no more relevance in assembling and disassembling and carrying. There's nothing to carry. All of those things are basically retired. The Uriahs, the Krushim, they're gone. They disappeared. I mean, the Chazal say it's in Geniza. It's going to reappear when Mashiach comes. It'll be a museum. Will be a Beis HaTfilah, whatever it will be. It'll be very interesting. Can you imagine? They'll reassemble the Mishkan. You can go on a Chol HaMoed trip. a Chol HaMoed trip to see the Mishkan. He'll show you the wagons and the Mishkan and the Yerioth, the Artachash. It'll be fascinating. It'll be a fascinating, as Chazal say, it'll be like a museum. It'll be a Beis Medrash, a Beis HaKnesses. The Mishkan is Oimdim Lo'ad Ulil Me'olamet. So, but over here, what are we referring to? Anyone who comes to serve, Rashi, Ashir, this is the sing, Bim Tziltayim V'chinoros. Now, a kinar, do we really know what a kinar is? A harp. Is that really what a kinar is? Not so simple. Meir is a levi. Meir, do you know what this is? What a kinar is? What a kinar really is? No one really knows what a kinar is. The bim tziltayim. What is that? The cymbals? Really? Is that what it is? Those things that go bang and they make all this noise? Noise pollution. Is that what it is? I don't know. It doesn't seem like anyone really can tell you definitively what any musical instrument is, including the kinar. Chazal seemed to indicate that it's a string instrument. Nimin. The kinar Shel David had seven nimin. And the kinar Shel Moshiach will have eight nimin. Now, what are nimin? Nimin would seem to mean strings, cords. And Chazal said, where do these cords come from? Sinews. They come from the Ayil Shel Yitzchok. Sinews. Now are all I don't know anything today on the string instruments. Are all of the strings the same material? I don't know. There's a whole chokhmah behind this. On the violin, they have horse hairs. Not all horse hairs are the same. They have different quality horse hairs. They're very expensive, and how often you change it. And this. Everything is a chokhmah. Everything is a groisa chokhmah. It's an even bigger business. So here we have over here the bim tziltayim, which we commonly translate as the cymbals, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, the chinoros and the harps, shehi avoida acheres. This is a very powerful Rashi. It's an avoida for another avoida. Now, what does that mean? So it would seem. What does that mean? It's an avoida for another avoida. What is the other avoida? So perhaps you'll argue it means to sing. The levim who would sing with their voices, it was necessary that they be inspired with musical instruments. So the playing of the musical instruments is an avoida that enhances another avoida. And this is extremely rare, because ordinarily there's no such thing as an avoida to an avoida. Ordinarily you have a mitzvah. The terminology is ordinarily there's a mitzvah, and then there's a hechsher mitzvah. You have a lulav. What is the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to shake the lulav. What's the hechsher mitzvah? An eged. You have to tie it up. Before Yom Tov, you have to take a lulav branch and you have to tie it up. You have to put it into the, whatever those things are called, Kashkalos or whatever, I don't know what they call it, whatever they call it.
You have cases of the word.
Tell me.
The Kohen, he does the Shechita. The Kohen, Makabal Adam. The Kohen transports the brother. The Kohen spritzes the brother.
I'm listening to what you're saying, and I hear very well what you're saying, but I don't recall anywhere that those four steps, Shechita, Kabbalah, Halacha, Zrika, are called an avoida for an avoida. They're called an avoida in their own right. You're proving the point. Imam is proving the point. There's shchita. You can't do Kabbalah unless you have shchita.
There's a seder. You can't put the blood in your hand, take it to the mizbeach, and throw it on the mizbeach. There's a seder.
Right. One absolutely. But yet, in the Torah never refers to the four stages of the Avodah. It says the Gemara, the, all these, the, you learned the Daf Yomi, all these long Gemaras about how do you know Kabbalah? It says Vehikrif. How do you know Zrika? The Gemara goes through to prove the four stages. And all of the four stages are explicitly mentioned in the Torah, and the Gemara elaborates to show you the four stages based on Pesukim. But the Torah never defines any one of those four stages as an Avodah for an Avodah. It's only by the Levim where we're calling the singing an Avodah for another Avodah. La'avod, Avodas Avodah, to serve, a service for a service. We have many psukim that discuss the hakravas hakarbanos. Nowhere does it say anything similar that the Kabbalah is an avodah in its own right, which is an for the next avodah of halacha, and the halacha is for the avodah of zrika, and the zrika is an avodah for the haktaras seimurim. It's absolutely necessary, as you said, and there's a sequence, and if you break the sequence, it's impossible to go to the next thing. Yet, the Torah doesn't talk that language. There are four avodas. Each avod is choshev in its own right. There's a sequence. There's a sequence of how things have to go. Here, it's unique. It's an avodah for an avodah. Maybe that's exactly the point. Because when the Levim are playing the musical instruments, it's done simultaneously with the Levim, other Levim, singing. Whereas when you do the four avodos, you don't do the one shot. You can't do the shchit and the kabbal at the same moment in time. It's by definition, it's serial. First shchita, then kabbalah, then halacha. Then Zrika. You can't do them in one shot. It's impossible. You cannot do a shchita on top of the Mizbeach and the blood spills on the Mizbeach. It's possible. It's mamish, 100% possible. The dam must go into a Kli Sharis. And then the Kli Sharis must be brought to the Mizbeach, and then from the Medir it goes onto the Mizbeach. Maybe that's the reason. Since it cannot be done simultaneously, you don't call it an Avoida for an Avoida. The Shira is called an Avoida for the avodah of what? Of actually the playing of the musical instruments is an avodah for the avodah of the shira. Okay, avodah smasa kimashmoi. What does Targum here say? Mibar tulas inshin umalav yad barcham shana kol do asel l'miflach. When it comes to serve, polchan polchana. Okay, l'miflach. Same four words, four times. L'miflach, to work. Polchan polchana, the work of the work. Ufolchan, and the work. Matul. Matul means to carry. Bimashkan zimna, in the temporary, the old moed, the Targum Lishita, so he always calls the word moed temporary. The Mishkan, that's only meant to be around for a temporary period of time. Okay, we'll stop over here, Mishnah tomorrow. Memches. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Have a good one.
Now you have to do research and find out why we don't have numbers.
Numbers and counting. The Secretary of State. Who was the Secretary of State in the Mishkan? It's a great question. You heard my whole drush about that Trump? You were there, you signed off in the middle.
No, I got...
You missed. Trump is a very good chiddush.
Yeah, I just said that. Trump said he's the most important guy.
Who's the most important guy? The Secretary of State is the most important person to vote for. Everyone else, why? Because if you don't have an honest Secretary of State, then no one's vote counts. All the corrupt, all the people that destroyed the voting.
You don't have to be a citizen to vote.
It all depends. The one who makes the rules is the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State is the one that is in charge of the counting of the vote. And if you have someone who's corrupt, then you're finished. Then your vote doesn't count. He'll do whatever he wants. He'll manipulate everything the way he wants.
Found out that the Dominion machines are
fraud.
Are corrupt?
Yeah, that came in the news this week. You read that?
Okay.
You read that in the news?
Google, no, I didn't see anything.
Google it. It came out maybe even today. Today or yesterday. Google it.
Wow.
Dominion machines. And this is a fraud. They said that they're subject to is a very damaging, very damaging report. Remember that woman, the first thing she said, they got rid of her so fast. Trump's lawyer, what was her name? He had this woman, she disappeared off the face of the earth. Remember her? What was her name? Trump had a lawyer. She, a tall woman. So the first thing she said.
Why did he get rid of her?
Because she said crazy things. She said crazy things. The first thing she said this. I heard her say this. She said, this is what she said. She said that on the Dominion was created by the CIA. That's what she said. By the CIA. And she has proof.
Was she right or was she wrong?
I don't know. How do I know? I know nothing. What do I know? This is what she said. They threw it. So that's why they got rid of her. She said, that on Obama, I think he said on Obama's eighth day in office, the CIA, he met with the CIA, and they told him that we created a company called Dominion, and we send, and the whole world uses their machines, and we manipulate the elections all over the world to our liking. This is what we do. This is what the CIA told him on his eighth day. This is what she said. I'm not making it up. Google it. Maybe they.
No, the CIA is famous for that. It's been
This is what she said. She said that they told him on the eighth day that he was the president of the United States. This is what we do. We made this company. No one knows it's our company, and we manipulate all over the world. And Obama said to them, this is what she said. That's why they got rid of her so quickly. Obama said to them, why only all over the world? Why don't we do it in America? America also, for us.
Right.
So they said, you really want us to
so
do
why
it?
Why did you get rid of it if she said that?
Because it was too much. It was too much for the country to hear such things. They don't want to believe it. Who says it's even true? Prove it.
Yeah,
you can't say such crazy things today. Today you cannot say such crazy things. What's our proof?
You can have 50 intelligence leaders say that the whole laptop story is baloney.
They did it. They spent $100 million. She spent $100 million saying $100 million.
I gotta run.
All right, Zygon. Miss him is glad. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. For
how was the Yom Tov?
Okay, we're a month, so we're by my daughter. We're still there.
How are you feeling?
Okay. How are you doing?
All right, Baruch Hashem.
Okay, good. All right.
It's nice to hear you.
Thank you very much. Nice to hear you, too. And thank you for your share.
Okay, you should be gesund, both of you.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you. You too. Okay.
Have a wonderful evening. Be well.
Thank you.